Talk Station 99.3 Nigeria, Info Lagos. Good morning to you. Welcome to the second part of Daily Today. I'm Sherif Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Feel free to join us on those two platforms. Let's know what you think about the headlines this morning, okay? Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper this morning. Sean rumors, I'm strong, Tinubu says, on arrival from France.
Yeah, thank you. It actually, to be honest and to be fair, he does look strong and fit. As far as rumors go, I think it's something he's going to have to live with for a while, because of the circumstances that led, you know, to the that came out during the election and so on and so forth. Every time he travels, I hope he does less of that now. We want to see an incoming president now who's going to sit down and show us a three-month action plan that over the next, that's the way to go. That, I believe, would be the best way for him to go. Now, sure, politicking is over. It's now on up to the courts. So in the meantime, there's a job to be done, and he jolly well has to do it. So I expect now that he will tidy up a few things, have a formal appointment. The campaign council has been dissolved, so that knocks out one or two people. So now he needs to appoint a spokesperson. He needs to come out very quickly with an action plan for the next 3 months. There is a new kind of governance that people expect from the incoming president, and that is, to put it in the general word, we're looking forward to a corporate-led Nigeria, meaning a Nigeria led intellectually, led, you know, in line with corporate structures that we acquired. We know what we've had in the past 8 years. Apologies have been made. Fair enough. Let's just start again, I beg. Apology, okay, accepted. Let's all start again. So that is what we'll be expecting of the president-elect. It's important for him also to know that, and for the rest of us to know, is that despite all the circumstances and feelings anybody would have, that is the gentleman who's going to be in the driver's seat, you know, for as long as, at least, at the very least, when the Supreme Court rules. We don't know what that would be. And therefore, everybody has to try not to distract him as much as possible, because we are the ones who are going to be at the brunt. If Bola Tinubu fails as a president, we will also, we know what we've gone through in the past 8 years. We don't want anything like that. Let the man concentrate. The thing that went around the social media yesterday, after he arrived, somebody, some kind of prank, to cut the photograph and put a catheter under his armpit and so on and so forth. And somebody sent it to me from America. I said, you don't put catheters on your armpits. You put it somewhere near at the lower part of your body.
Yeah.
It would be best to ignore these things. You know, and in fact, if I were him, I'd catch some fun with it. He needs to concentrate. All his supporters, to everybody, need to let this man concentrate. You don't distract a driver when he's headed in some direction. Whether he's right or not, time will tell. But it's good to have him back. It's good that he is healthy, because look, listen, the truth of the matter is that if the man is down and out, for as long as he breathes, he will be sworn in. That is something people need to know now. For as long as he is breathing, if it means bringing the bed, putting him on the bed from the hospital to where, in fact, the swearing in doesn't even have to take place at whatever, it can be done by a hospital bed. So we must always wish him well, in spite of our circumstances. It's important that we wish well. Now, for you to get a sense of what is likely to come, who were those who were at the airport to receive him? They were Shettima, Gbaja, you know, Lalong, Sonny Bello, Alimodu Sherif, also at the airport were Nuhu Ribadu, Emma Neoku, Beta Edu, Senators Barao, Jibrin, Adiola, Olamileko, Okweyemi, Bamidele, Dayo, Adeyeye, and so on and so forth. And of course, the one and only James Faleke was also there. And Bayo Ononuga, described here as Director of Media and Publicity in the defunct APC presidential campaign council. But there. And this, let me quote what Tinubu says. He says, I'm happy to be back. I have rested, I am refreshed, and I'm ready for the task ahead. Forget about what the rumor mill may have told you. I am strong, very strong. Maybe I need to, let's see if we can get him to do a power, you know, this arm twisting match that you have. Mm. Asked about his plans for the country, which is the important part, you know. He said he had been consulting and planning with a view to putting together a strong team so he could hit the ground running once he assumes office on May 29. I would like to advise or to plead with Ashiwaju to please make himself available to the media to discuss his first 6 months in government. It's very important. Mm. The elections are over. There's nothing, there's no, what we want to see now is an action plan, not even to say, I will do this, I will do that. No, we want, it would be nice if we can sit down with 6, 7, 8, 10 journalists and analyze specifically what he wants to do. We need to push him to that point. We will no longer, I don't think Nigerians will no longer accept governance by speculation or by just theory, you know, say, oh, I will reform the prisons, I will tar the roads. No. What roads are you tarring over the next 6 months? In the petroleum sector, are you going to cut the subsidy? If you are going to cut the subsidy, when? Till what time? What percentage? We need this. Journalists now should concentrate on that and leave the politicians to solve their problem in the court. Because this country, the survival of this country should be paramount in the minds of everybody. So rather than continue to ask what which school or whatever, we know all that, the man is there. It is important that we are now properly led. We've had something that hasn't been too good in the past 8 years. I must admit that. But now, you know, man seems to be more exposed and whatever. Probably more educated. I don't know whatever it is. But we would like to see action. Action, action. And finally, Ashiwaju should take that mantle with the idea of peace. And therefore, he needs to get rid of attack dogs and bring somebody who has a more peaceful demeanor and dispensation. That is my welcome back for him, in case he is listening. Just my note.
Let me ask this. What is the role of the opposition now that he's back? He's going to be sworn in. Like you said, whether anybody likes it or not, at least he's going to be in power until
he's the president. I mean, that is something, Sheriff, that all of us have to admit to us. He's the president, and if he fails, okay, the worst is that history will be unkind to him. But our anchor? Look at the failures of the past government. See where it has led us. Yes. See where it has led us. So if he fails all of us, that is the problem I've always had, for example, with politicians in government, state or whatever, when they say, oh, he doesn't like the governor. He doesn't. I don't care who the governor is. It doesn't have to be my friend. But I do care about my welfare in my country. So back to your question, the opposition, to be honest with you, what would have been the good opposition will still be battling with legitimacy. They are still in court. So that's the reality. It would have been good if we had an opposition that had admitted and would now serve as a proper whatever. But the opposition is still bogged down by the court case. So we now should be the ones who should take the role of the opposition. That is. When you say opposition, it doesn't mean somebody who wants to be abusing the man every time or beating him up. No. But somebody who would put him on his toes, ask certain questions. We must be ready to do that. At least until the court case is resolved, we must be ready to put this gentleman on his toes. And it's not, and not to be distracted, you know, by, of course, you know who. Who would go to town and say, oh, the election is won, he's the president now, we're going to put him on his toes in a systematic manner. He needs to handle this function efficiently. He needs a first-class media person. Because, I repeat for the umpteenth time, perception is not too far from reality. And it's the demeanor of his spokesperson or his media team that will, to a large extent, determine people's perception of him. So it's up to him.
All right. Let's take our next story.
Who would you recommend? Can I recommend you for that?
For what?
You work calm now. You're very calm.
No. I can't work for government. No.
For government. Work for your country. You must contribute to your country.
No government. I can't.
Work on fire by Jambi by
so. I actually do not have the patience.
Neither. I'm not a team player.
I don't think I can stand it.
My problem is that I'm not a team player. You know, that's number one. So team player means that you overlook certain things. Yeah. My own, you know, I'm a voluntary trained person. No friend, no foe. You go on the right path and damn the consequence. That's where I am. So, but you, your country needs you.
Oh. If we're talking about experience, if we're talking about someone that's well grounded in public relations, yes, public speaking, excuse me.
Yeah.
You have four fingers pointing at yourself. So that's you.
You have secretly gone to take an appointment.
What was that? What do you mean?
Please, all of you on YouTube and Facebook, if you are not there, run there now.
What is it?
Run,
now. What is it?
You have taken an appointment. This is a Motecon uniform. You wore it to frighten me.
That's...
Go to YouTube. Go. This is a Motecon.
That's not true.
You have taken up appointment already.
That's not you. Oh my word.
Oh my God. But we joke about it, but I think that function is, he needs a very intelligent and calm person for that role. None of those who did that during the campaign can be a good spokesperson for a president.
What if they had
none
to
of them.
What if they had to do that because of what they were confronted with?
Look, if you don't put what you are confronted with in the back burner, it's going to haunt you all the way. It's part of the game. So what you do is what we call a rope-a-dope. When Muhammad Ali discovered that he couldn't beat George Foreman, back in the day, that George Foreman would beat the living daylights out of him by the eighth round, would be knocked out. What did he do? He got the ropes slacked, and he was doing rope to dope. So he kept absorbing the punch. Yes, that is the kind of thing that Atiwaju Tinubu, the incoming president, that's the kind of thing he needs. To actually go personal, he doesn't need a Femi Fanikai all day. He doesn't need all, you know, these are, you can do them maybe during fighting, during campaign. They are good for all these things. But he needs an extremely calm person. He's father of all now.
That's right.
That's what it is. He needs somebody who sees him as father of all and who is not ready to impress him, but get the job done. It is very, very important. And he needs to take control. He needs to have an oversight view of this thing to say, somebody needs to be able to sit down with him and tell that, sir, you are now the president. You are not Bola. You are not, when you say on your mandate, the mandate you now have is national. It's not from your supporters. At least so far, irrespective of the circumstances.
Right.
I hope he gets it right, because if he makes that first initial move, then he'll be fighting the rest of his 4 years.
Yeah.
And 8 years, if people feel they want to give him another one.
Let's go to our next story.
Sheriff is a good one. I recommend Sheriff.
Thank you for the recommendation, but no thanks. Yeah. Vanguard is next, page 8. India overtakes China as world's most populous nation, UN.
I'm a great fan of India. In all honesty, I'm a great fan of India. And one day, I would need to get somebody, maybe from the NIA or from the university, to plot the growth and trajectory of the Indian nation. It's amazing. This is a country that was colonized by the British. I saw somewhere in the social media. The role now today you have the Prime Minister of India the UK is of Indian origin. That of Scotland is of Pakistani origin. The mayor of, is Indian now. The vice president has some Indian connections. You see, these are people. One thing that happened when they were colonized, they stuck to their language. They stuck to a large extent to their dressing. They closed up and helped themselves. They stuck to their religion. And you can now see where they are, that they had a purpose. On our part, the black man, he took the religion wholly, and so that we took the religion and are now far ahead of the people who mm-hmm. and we kept forgetting that religion is politics, according to Majek Fatek. And did we help ourselves? No. Did we grow together? No. Now see where we are. See where they are, and they move. Do you know India is in space as we speak?
Oh yes.
So they are moving slowly but surely. Hmm. Now they are taking on China as the world's most populous nation. But that is the beginning. Hmm. I can assure you, with the kind of resolve and whatever they have, the sky is the limit for India. Now they are the destination for all kinds of health treatment worldwide is India. Hmm. The medical destination. For IT is India. India takes the lead. And so on and so forth. This is going to be giving America a sleepless night, but so it is important for us to know in Africa that living in the world is just like living in the jungle. It's highly competitive. And I like what the president of Ghana said, that enough of aid. We don't need aid. We want you to deal with us as contemporaries. But that would have been good if you yourselves behaved, if you behaved yourselves. Mm. But what African leaders have done to their people, what African leaders have done, even Nigeria here, what the leaders have done, you know, rather than focus on making their country great, in their own estimation, they want to make their own people great. Person, he never become minister, so if you don't go back house to America, showing off in the Instagram, this is me, being far ahead, your people are suffering, you are showing off that. Look at that kind of mindset. Just imagine that kind of mindset. Now you go first buy a house for America. How did you buy it? As your people are suffering, you feel it's more important for you to show them, say, yeah, me, I don't rather, like, yeah, I don't leave now behind. That is the kind of mentality we've had. You know, our leaders embezzle our money and you can't turn back to use it to oppress us, all kinds of things. Fritter our money away. I played victim to our enemies. You know there are so many cases now. I don't need to go that far. You go get some loan facility. They encourage your own people, your own leader, to siphon that man back and keep it. You remember? I don't know if you remember somebody who died in the 90s. So I think it had to do with the windfall. He had this petroleum windfall,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who do Lenny? They slipped him and Mickey. Anyway, so this story says that Indian population, and don't forget also, population too has its own strengths. It has its weaknesses if you're not well organized, but it also has its own strengths. So the Indian population is expected to reach 1.40. How many zeros is this? Is
billion.
This is not billion, no. This, are you sure?
It's got to be billion.
And then surpassing the population of mainland China, and so on and so forth. This story is in the Vanguard, and it says here, India's population is virtually certain to continue to grow in the coming decades, according to the United Nations. How can we increase our own population?
I think that shouldn't be our goal.
What should be our goal?
Development.
Do you need population to develop?
Not exactly. No, you don't, actually.
But it helps.
Not exactly.
Nothing in life is exactly, except, but it helps.
Not exactly.
Hey, Bono.
Okay. Oh my God.
Let's move to
let's quickly take this one. This one is another interesting one.
Yes.
Malami Zainab and the 2.4 billion naira oil theft probe.
You see what we're talking about, African leaders. Now listen to this one. This is the Vanguard editorial. And it says, who will save Nigeria from his secret cow senior officials? Once Nigerian, you give him small position. If you tell your megad, you give him a stick and whatever and tell him nobody should pass his road. Just put a uniform, one uniform on him and he'll go gaga. So who will save Nigeria from a secret chaos in the officials? People employed into public offices, given enormous powers and opulently catered for, see themselves as being above our laws and our sacred institutions. The law is now only for the underprivileged who are violated even by the law enforcement agencies for doing the right thing. And the Vanguard says that the current probe of the alleged oil thefts, your oil, amounting to $2.4 billion. Don't forget that whoever is found guilty or not, this money has been compromised. My people.
Of over a million barrels.
Yes, $2.4 billion. Has exposed just how rotten the system is and why a reformist leadership is urgently needed. The question is, on May 29, do we have this reformist leadership? Time will tell. A whistleblower had claimed that 84 million barrels of our crude oil was stolen and sold in China in 2015. Are you with me? That is 84 million barrels. One transaction. And it was sold in China in 2015. When the story broke back then, a presidential committee was set up to look into it. But as usual, nothing came out of it.
Nothing.
The whistleblower brought the case back to the front burner recently. A group carried out protests in Abuja demanding action from Buhari government. Then the House of Representatives set up the Mark Gibler Committee to investigate the issue. The committee wrote relevant officials such as Abubakar Malami, Zainab Ahmed, Minister for Finance, Abubakar Malami is the Attorney General, to come with crucial documents to help unravel the truth of the issue. But they ignored the summons. Also, the Inspector General of Police, Usman Alkali Baba, was summoned to explain why the whistleblower was harassed. The whistleblower, it is claimed, was harassed, intimidated, and threatened at gunpoint by a now-retired DIG of police, Mike Obiazi, of the 4th CID. The IGP chose to send a representative rather than appearing in person as directed. Please take note, the money you are talking about is $2.4 billion. Imagine if we had that injected into the economy now. Let's say you can grab the money. But the Vanguard says that they are now relieved to hear that AGF Malami has graciously agreed, and we thank him for agreeing. What can we do? To appear before the House Committee on Thursday. We look forward to seeing his finance counterpart, Mrs. Ahmed, in the hallowed chamber, saying all she knows about the alleged oil theft and sale. This thing is a recurring decimal. Even when Fela was alive, there was some money, I think it was Taisho Lani, that they brought to ridicule then. There was this same all money missing, but this one is now $2.4 billion, and he says it was in 2015. 2015. So the Vanguard says that the public has the right to know the truth about this issue. The $2.4 billion in question is capable of solving the crisis in our health. It can solve so many problems. But, well, the thing is that, okay, we do need a confirmation that it has been stolen for all this worth. If it has been stolen, I leave the rest to your imagination.
Yeah.
And if that was stolen in 2015, from 2015 until now.
I think we also need to give kudos to Auditor General of the Federation. You see, that report that he put out has been generating quite a lot of, it's given the National Assembly so much work to do. Now, the ball is in their courts to make sure that all of these issues raised in that auditor report would be completely and thoroughly ironed out before this administration leaves office.
You know that ordinarily you would expect some complicity at some level. But the God that we worship these days, he answereth prayer. Yeah, because ordinarily, for this kind of money, there would have been complicity all around. There's enough to share to make everybody, $2.4 billion. Where are you going to share it up to? But translating
in dollars, Neil.
But you see, and I'm sorry to go again back, when you have, Nigeria is in a big mess. You have somebody is in public office, he now sets up a video to show, see the house that I've bought in America and so on and so forth. Even, it's not so much whether you even bought it with public funds, but the option, and people have always bought these houses abroad and live to regret it much later because it's never put to too much use. That's when people are making money for the first time in their lives, that kind of error usually occurs. You talk to those who did it in the past, they'll tell you that's not what it is. But it shows the thinking. You know, that's the part that bothers me. It shows the thinking. And this translates all the way down. That's why you have a lot of Yahoo, Yahoo, all these people wanting to show enough. You can go to the social media, you'll be sick. I just bought a Mercedes. I just bought this one. I just bought that. You know, we've become a material country because those who lead us are not showing the right example. Leadership calls for sacrifice. It's not to show that you have defeated the natives. It calls for sacrifice. It calls for maturity. It calls for identifying with your people. The same thing we have with our traditional rulers. I sometimes wonder how a traditional ruler can ride in a Rolls Royce in the midst of all this poverty and come out in a convoy. There's this mad thing about convoy now. And I think that's because our people still don't understand road life. Some of them believe that along those shitting won't actually take me not bad. Nope, you got to fight for your rights. Simple.
All right, we're going to leave it there today.
Because in most cases, it's your money. We've left it.
Yes.
We finished.
Yes, we are. Done. We're done. Thank you so much for coming. You're coming back at 9. What's next at 9?
There are two things. Okay. One, there's this sickness that is making the rounds. So I'm bringing an in-house doctor.
Sickness?
Yeah, there's this sickness, this kind of fever and so on and so forth.
Okay.
With sore throat and all these things. I'm bringing him to come analyze. Then there's a baby that was born without the anal area.
Oh.
That I'd like to bring to the public. But I have insisted that if we're going to raise the money at all, it will be paid directly to Luth.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's going to be paid directly to Luth, not... It's not going to be, but I'd like to hear the story.
Okay. All right.
At 9 o'clock. And also, we are going to talk a bit about football.
Oh, nice. How Arsenal will win City.
I'm an Arsenal fan. Yeah. Well, am I still an Arsenal? Yes.
Hey, you're going nowhere.
I can change my team that I like.
Thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Let's go. We're back after the news. Stay here.
We all have that one friend that always hides everything from everyone else. Like my guy, Sheung. That got 1 gig free data when he downloaded my empty.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.